stand before you in fear this morning. Yesterday I was gave what the Lord had given me. That's a good time for a minister because then he gets to enjoy the rest of the meeting. Went home last night and the Lord started dealing again. He's given me something to share, and I want to tell you, I'm not man enough to give it, if I can say it that way. I've got to have the Lord's help this morning, so I desire your prayers. There are scriptures in the Bible that I love to read. They bring a lot of comfort to me. One of them I want to read starting now, 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That's a comfort to me this morning. But this morning, the Lord has given me a message of warning that the Lord is not the only one who's going to and fro. I'd like for us this morning to go to Job first chapter. We've all read this before. Where the Lord in the seventh verse, I don't know how all this worked. I just have faith to believe what it says. It says, the Lord said to Satan in the seventh verse, first chapter, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? What was Satan's response to God? Did he say, I've never heard of Job. Where does he live? That wasn't his response. The devil knew about Job also. I want to tell you, before we get into the warning, this passage right here is a great comfort to me. The devil himself realized, I can only go as far as God allows me to go. Because look at this. The devil knew Job's address. He had been monitoring his situation, and this was the conclusion. Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the earth. Look at this 11th verse. But put forth thine hand now. The devil asking the Lord, would you cause trouble to come to Job? Because you put a hedge around him that I cannot get through. So the Lord said, I'll take the hedge down. I'll allow you to be able to touch him. It's a comfort to me that to every Christian, there is a hedge put about their life. Satan cannot touch it unless God says, okay, I'm going to give you some room. God sets boundaries. Do you remember when Pilate went to Jesus, John 19th chapter, 10th verse? He said, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Did that shake Jesus? His response was, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given to you from above. That is the comfort that I have this morning. If I live for God, if I put my hand in his, there is nothing that the devil can do to me unless God allows it. Amen. This morning, the direction that I believe the Lord wants us to go is a warning. The devil knows your address. He knows mine. He had no question about who Job was. He knew him. He had been monitoring his life. More than you can realize, the devil knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knows how I'm made up. He knows your parents. He knows your grandparents. He knows the areas in their life that they conquered. He also knows the areas in their life that they failed to conquer and they passed down to future generations. The day that I got saved is important, but equally important is the maintenance that I give it, that I'll be able to make heaven my home in the end. I'd like for us to go to a verse this morning in Matthew. I desire your prayers. It's Matthew 12 and 43. We've heard this one before. I'd like to read it again. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came out. And when he's come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. I'd like to bring this verse down to where we live today. When I got saved, all uncleanness was emptied out. Satan today knows my address. He's coming by, and he's looking for empty. It has not been replaced by the things that it needed to be replaced with. And he is waiting to fill it with something else. The warning is to us today that are saved, don't let up. The devil is looking for empty in your life and mine. We have a song, and I'd like to read it. Song number 302. My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies, to keep you and me from being able to make heaven my home. Oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day, and help divine implore. Realize I'm not going to make it on my own. I must have God's help. Never think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown. Fight on, my soul, till death. Have you felt the pressure around you lately? The call is, fight on, my soul, till death. Shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath up to his blessed abode. My soul, be on thy guard. I'd like to take a look at a verse. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Goes on to say, whom resist. Here's something for us to do, each one of us, if we want to make heaven. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith. Do you remember when Jesus had a message for Peter? He said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He hasn't stopped. His plan today is to do some sifting in our lives. Sifting has already started in many lives. Sifting out convictions that's a once held of right and wrong. Places that I will not cross, because I've set boundaries in my life, I want to please the Lord. Satan desires to sift out of my life the understanding of this verse, Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. He would like to dilute that message and make holiness to be something weaker than what we know it should be. We have a song, number 236, that says, watch and pray. The tempter may be near us. Keep the heart with jealous care, lest the door, one moment left unguarded, evil thoughts may enter there, guarding the entrance to my heart. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This morning, I have a story that I'd like to relate to you. I read it when I was in school. Thought at that time for it to be a true story. As later checking on it, it is a Greek legend maybe. But it has merit for us today to take warning. It says, the Greeks sought to conquer a city of Troy. It says, after a fruitless 10-year siege, 10 years of trying to take this city, they pulled away. But before they left, they built a huge wooden horse called the Trojan horse. And then in daylight, they sailed away. For 10 years, this city had been under siege. Would they just run out there to it immediately? No, the guard is up. What's the reason for this? They've wanted to take us for so long. What is this? After a little bit of looking at it, they decided it must be a trophy for us holding out for so long. The story says they went out, hooked onto that horse, opened the gates, and pulled it inside the city. Closed the gates again. We're secure. As the story goes, what they did not know was that before they left, 30 men had been selected and put inside this huge wooden horse. Pulled it in, looks like a victory. We have been faithful all these years, and look at the prize that we have obtained. Went to bed that night, no doubt very happy with the success that had been given them. If only someone had warned them. Burn it. Don't bring it in the gate. There's trouble ahead. As they came out that night and opened the gates, for the army that had left in daylight but had only circled around and come back, it says the Greek army entered, destroyed the city of Troy, decisively ending the war. I'm not interested in history today, but to me there is a serious lesson for us each one here this morning. For 10 years, I've succeeded in my life of holding the devil at bay. There is a verse that says, set a watchman to watch out. When he sees the sword coming, if he'll warn the people, if they go ahead on anyhow, their blood will be on their own head. But if he sees the sword coming and he fails to warn, they'll die and he will too. There was a day when I was only responsible for my own soul. Then I got married. And I became responsible with trying to help my wife make heaven. I'm now responsible for more. Then I had children. Responsibility became greater. It's my job to try to help my children to make heaven my home. And then the Lord calls, when I give you something, would you share it? He has not said, it's my job to change things. It's only my job to warn the people. In many lives today, people that have guarded their city, their heart, for many years against anything that would defile, the Trojan horse has now been pulled inside their city, inside their gates. One of the saddest events I've ever experienced happened this summer. Never would I have thought I would see the day that there would be a minister's meeting with discussion for the acceptance of television for ministers in their homes. For years, the city of the heart had been guarded to keep the enemy out. Now the Trojan horse had been allowed to enter. Romans 14 and 10 tells us we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account to God of the things that we do. Folks, this morning I want to tell you, it's only fair to tell you this morning why I have set boundaries in my life. And as a watchman, it's only fair to give you the scriptures. Let us have your prayers. In Psalms 101 and 3, says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. This is a passage that David wrote. Were there televisions in David's time? Nuh-uh. There was a principle involved that will span all time. The principle is what we need urgently today. I don't know chronologically how Psalms was written. I don't know when David wrote this verse. I wonder, was it after the event with Bathsheba? Folks, I want to tell you, it doesn't have to be a television. We must set in our heart this principle and lock it in stone. I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. It spans all time. It worked in David's time. It will work if time goes on another 500 years. I will. I won't look around and try to judge you to be able to determine, okay, we've got a 75% majority now, we must need to change. I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. Had David, and I can't help but think maybe this verse was written after that event, and he made the determination. I was taken once. I will not be taken again. I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. There's an important word in this verse, set. There is protection for anyone who did not set it. That's why God has protection for us when we have to go out and work in the world. And we're trying to keep ourselves from the evil of the world. God sets boundaries around us. I want to tell you, to the one that sets it, woes have been pronounced. I want to give you another one. In Job, in 31 and 1. You know, Job had friends that came along and felt like it was going to be their duty to check and see what must have been Job's problem. Here Job is making a response. I have made a covenant with mine eyes. I want to tell you, this will again span time. Better make a covenant with your eyes. Now he goes on, what was the topic that he's talking about? Why then should I think upon a maid? Why will I allow my thoughts to go in any direction that can lead to impurity? I've made a covenant with mine eyes. I want to tell you folks, this thing will carry you to the judgment and you'll be clear in your soul. There's another one. Proverbs 6 and 27. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go up on coals and his feet not be burned? What was the subject here? Are we just hitting and missing and pulling some scriptures out of context? What was the subject? Evil women. Are there any depicted on television? I've made a covenant with mine eyes. I'm going to set no evil before me. We might would say, I only watch it. I don't commit the act. There's Bible for that too. When Jesus came, it went deeper than the act. He said, you've been heard. The Ten Commandments told you don't commit adultery. But I say unto you, he that looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Can anyone tell me that Hollywood has no desire to promote lust? I want to tell you, there's one more verse here that I want to give you. All God asks is for the watchman to warn. In Romans, in the first chapter. This chapter, if you would read through it, it gives a picture of where America has gone. But I can say, I haven't committed the acts. I'm only enjoying watching them. 32nd verse of the first chapter of Romans says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The punishment is the same. To have pleasure in them that do them. So is it okay to watch a football game? Why is halftime filled with the things it's filled with? The devil is after your soul. I want to tell you, these verses, if you let them, will be a safeguard. And you can meet the Lord in peace in this area. And it covers a whole lot of other areas. Because what God is looking for is the stamp of purity on my life. It'll cover music. I will set nothing in front of me. It will cover the things that you allow yourself to listen to. If what you listen to promotes something that you know God hates, there's trouble ahead. Please take the warning. It covers what you read. If you're reading material takes you in areas that you know God is displeased, the purity stamp at some day will be gone. It covers the magazines in 7-Eleven. This spans all time. I can hardly see how it can get any more wicked than it is today. But it doesn't matter. You set these in your life and it'll cover it all. It'll cover the internet. I will set no evil thing before my eyes. You know when you have reached an area that I better get out of here quick. It's when you set it that trouble has come. Matthew 5 and 8 tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Is it possible that that verse works the other way? Those that have an impure heart will not see God. 1 Timothy 5 and 22 gives us a three-word message. Keep thyself pure. I want to tell you today, there will be no church policemen doing home inspections. God has already done it. He knows today the things that I've allowed in my heart. All he asks is the watchman to warn so he won't be responsible for the blood. I'd like to go to John 14th chapter because this verse is going to be very important for all of us. John 14 and 30, Jesus speaking. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh, and he findeth nothing in me. It is going to be so important that we have that testimony when the devil comes checking. You remember at the beginning, the story of the unclean spirit coming out of a man, and he says, I'm going to return. I'm looking for empty, and I'll fill it with something that'll be worse than the beginning. It's going to be so important for me to live my life to where when he comes checking, I can say, Satan, you need to move on. I don't have anything here that belongs to you. I haven't purchased any of your toys. So I want to ask you today, what's your Trojan horse? Because I want to guarantee you, the devil's building one for you. Maybe it's none of these areas. Have you ever been hurt? Has the thought ever come you are justified in that hurt? I hope that in the future, what you will see when that happens, and the devil giving you the allowance to nurse it, that you will see yourself getting a hold to the rope and pulling a Trojan horse that is intended to do you evil inside the gates of protection, inside the hedge that God built around your life. He will allow you to break the hedge down. I'd like for us to look at a song. I'd like for us to sing it when we close. Number 404. God is sweeping through the nations with an awful searching eye. That eye is searching me today and you. Every spot of imperfection must be purged, or hope of heaven must die. This third verse says, to preserve her pure and spotless, to be able to do it, he must make a sacrifice. I don't want that sacrifice to be me. Give to evil spirits supper, all who give to sin a place, all who have allowed something to be set in their life that was impure, or that will lead me in a direction different than what God would have me go. There's a verse I'd like to end with in 2 Peter. Because we're warned in the third chapter that the end is coming. But you know, we have all heard it all our life. It's still coming. Folks, if you'd look back over the last 10 years and could write down on a piece of paper those that you know that have gone out into eternity, the end's coming for you and for me. There's a verse that says, no man knows that time except the Father. I want to tell you, the devil, I don't believe, knows that time either. And that's why he's desperate to do whatever he can to catch me, because he doesn't know the day nor the hour. Here's a warning to us in the 11th verse of the third chapter. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, we're not here forever. Folks, I want to tell you, decisions that are being made today to move from God is because we have not factored in eternity. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 14th verse, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. I desire prayer from you for me. I want to make heaven my home. The devil has in construction a Trojan horse for me. He has one for you. But I want to tell you, it'll only take us when we open the gate. Can we sing that song, please?
Number 404.